This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Hell yeah! Mark Grody has got your Bears hit. One word as the Bears get ready to take on the Packers Saturday night. Woo! This is what you do this for. Groats, what's the good news on the injury report?
Well, yeah, guys. I mean, this was the last full practice of the week. Halas Hall will be closed to the media tomorrow. Hopefully, it will be closed to us on Sunday, because if they lose, that would be the locker cleanout day. I have no desire to be here. But yeah, Lawrence, we learned today that C.J. Gardner—this is not good news. We learned today that C.J. Gardner-Johnson will not play. That's obviously pretty big. Kyler Gordon remains questionable. He was out there practicing. I'll have a little bit more on Kyler Gordon at the end of this report. Roma Dunze, though, the really good news, was a full participant in practice. And Ozzie Trapillo back out there. He's been limited this week. Obviously did not play against Detroit, but he was down as a full participant. He is good to go and presumably be the Bears' starting left tackle in this particular game. DJ Moore has not talked for a while to the media. When I say that, he was not in the locker room after the Detroit loss. At least I didn't see him in there, and I was in there for the majority of the time that we were allowed to be in there. But DJ Moore will always have a huge part in the legacy of this rivalry because of his 46-yard overtime catch the last time these two teams played on that Saturday night. And DJ is heading into a place that he has never been. Here is the always interesting and entertaining DJ Moore.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
DJ, as a veteran, what do you tell the younger guys about handling a week like this?
Yeah, this is my first time in this thing, too. So I'm just going with the flow, working hard. Everything is, you can tell everything has been amped up. Even our practice has been. So, I mean, it's a lot of bugs, but like butterflies going around, but. No, it's football at the end of the day, so we got to go out there and execute.
You really seem to take pleasure in beating the Packers. It just seems to resonate from you. Can you talk a little about that, why it means so much to you?
Why? Because they always chirping. It's always like some talking going on somewhere, somehow, during the game, before the game, always. And, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, the rivalry, it speaks for itself, but the players that's on both sides of the – on both teams right now, I think are pretty amped about this third matchup and just getting out there, make it loud as possible.
Do you ever talk to the younger players about settling down in some of these big moments, these big games, you know, emotionally?
No, because you can't – like, why would you tell – you want to tell a lion not to go feast, like – what? Like, you can't tell them that they can't go do something. So you just let them play free and just play fast at the end of the day.
Man, it's nice. It's cool to hear from him, Gross. That's good stuff. I love him saying, yeah, I don't know what this is like.
He doesn't. Like, that's part of the...
This is his first winning team since high school.
That's part of the issue with the Bears as a collective is that they got a lot of guys that have played a ton of football, but not a lot of guys who've played a ton of playoff football. They got some winners, TJ Edwards, Joe Tooney. They've got some guys who've won, but... When you start looking at the roster overall, not a lot of playoff games played.
And then Lawrence and man on the other side, like Green Bay has a ton of it, a ton of playoff experience. It's huge, like a massive win 2 years ago when they were also a 7 seed and they demolished the Dallas Cowboys. This is Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love. This is a quarterback and coach who have experience in the playoffs, experience winning in the playoffs, and there's a ton of players on their roster that have that experience in the playoffs too. So that's really, I mean, it's a huge factor. Look, DJ Moore is a veteran. We know he's no wide-eyed rookie. He doesn't suffer fools. I think that DJ Moore, maybe the most professional guy in that locker room in terms of the way he goes about his business. And there's a lot of guys who would probably be at the top in terms of all of that. But it is there is the, you know what, guys, we talk so much about the known and where I love the known, which I don't get, but I do understand the unknown. And there's a lot of unknown in this game because I don't know, Matt, I don't know how DJ Moore will be in the postseason. I don't know how Ben Johnson will be as a head coach.
Known.
And I don't know how Caleb Williams will be as a quarterback.
No one knows nothing about the unknown. You're living in the unknown.
Nothing.
You're living in the unknown, and it's not comfortable. Yes. It is uncomfortable to be in the unknown. I was fired up when we got the injury report news in transition. I remain fired up because it feels nice that you've got just about everybody you want. I wish you had C.J. Gardner-Johnson, but you don't have him. Okay, but you do have Kyler. That's fascinating, and we'll see how much he's able to play. You do have Nick McCloud, and you do have Tyreek Stevenson. That is not an injury factor, but I love that you talked to him. We've been wondering about it all week, and Dennis Allen's answers didn't really give you everything maybe you wanted, even the ones that he got. So what'd you get out of Tyreek today?
Yeah, he didn't play at all against Detroit. So what's going on, Tyreek Stevenson?
A specific answer, As they said, they feel like, you know, Shawnee and Jalen are the best options, you know. Best thing I could do is come here, be healthy, and, you know, just be ready for any opportunity I get.
Elson, this is a new week, so where are you at this week with your thought process?
Really don't know. Same thing. Been rotating in practice. Hopefully, you know, it turns over to the game. But just showing up here. You know, doing the best I can. You know, whenever I get an opportunity, you know, just take advantage of it.
As a competitor, how do you take it? How do you deal with it? How do you focus that energy?
Just focus on you know, just being the best teammate and making sure that, you know, when eyes is on me, you know, I'm being the best teammate that I can, and you know, that's my main focus, just being a great teammate, and you know, whenever my number's called, just make sure that I go out there and do my business.
Because it did seem odd that you didn't play at all in that game, at least from our perspective. Have they told you anything differently for this game? Like, have they told you, hey, be ready to be involved?
I was told that last week, and, you know, I didn't get in. So, no, just rolling with the punches at this point.
But do you say anything to them? Do you ask more questions? Like, why, you know, the whole part of that?
No, because at the end of the day, they believe that the guys on the field that's going to help us win. And, you know, I'm on the same boat. You know, at the end of the day, I want to win. And, you know, if I'm out there, I'm going to help us win. If the guys out there, they're going to help us win. So, at the end of the day, I'm going to be a great teammate and just wait on any opportunity that I get.
Man, that hit me kind of hard. It's a big moment in this kid's life where, like, you can make money for the next deal or not. Hello? Everybody okay? Okay. All right.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm out here in the atrium. There's some things going on on the floor below me. Don't let that distract you, Matt.
Thank you, Mark. I'll just play right through it. I'll try to stay level and stay focused. Focus on the fundamentals. But, like, it's a big moment for him, and he's not playing. And he's got to, like, see, like, all sorts of stuff, big picture, if he zooms out. And he's trying to stay zoomed in. And I thought he represented very well right there. And then you got that added tidbit there that he was told to be ready last week and didn't get used. Mm-hmm. I keep thinking about what Matt Bowen said, Lawrence, that these coaches should be aggressive and make changes if they need to on Saturday night.
Grody, you're around that guy and have been, you know, since he got here. And clearly after what happened in the Washington game and his rebounding of that, it's clear to me that he is, and I say this with love, sensitive. Like, he's a sensitive guy, and I think that's good that he's a sensitive guy. Do you feel like he's still connected with this thing, or do you feel like he's been disconnected from it?
Great question. I think part of what I liked about our conversation with Tyreek today is that, like, relative to when he first walked in this building, and I don't want to make this like he's been this like super immature guy. The maturity is like up, you know, like to hear that response. And he's been humbled too. You know, everything that went on with the famous game against Washington last year, some struggling moments this year. We know we went through a real hot streak this year as well. But I think that all of it, and, you know, having had a child as well, like all of that has added to this concoction of Tyreek Stevenson starting to run out of contract as well. That adds up too. But Lawrence and Matt, what I would say about Tyreek Stevenson is that if you couldn't find a place for Tyreek Stevenson in that game against Detroit, where they were just able to do anything they wanted to do in the middle of the field and other parts of the field, yep, if you're not going to give Tyreek Stevenson a chance in that scenario, then why would you give him a chance in this game? I mean, that to me, that's baffling. So there is still the possibility there is something that we don't know that has gone on with Tyreek Stevenson. I'm not saying that there has been or even trying to stir anything up. Mm-hmm. It just the whole thing, I just don't feel like, while they've answered the questions, the coaching staff and Tyreek Stevenson, I still don't know that we have a really good answer on this, because why wouldn't you try him in that game? It's kind of crazy to think that they didn't.
I will be straight up pissed off if he doesn't play at all on Saturday night. I will be, because he can cover and he has an edge, man. When he's out there, he's got a physical edge. And without CJ, you could use any other little bit of physical edge you can have.
I agree. But to go back to our conversation that we were having about TJ Edwards, we know that peeking inside is also a Tyreek Stevenson issue. Mm. That he sometimes has bad leverage, that he sometimes will fall for the banana in the tailpipe
and get burned.
And get burned by it. But he does have something that you lack right now. And that's man coverage skills.
I think he's now that Kyler's here, maybe it Kyler helps. Can do it. But you know, I think he's a better man cover guy than Wright or Jalen at this point.
This point with Jalen and Jalen's health.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
If Jalen's healthy, he's one of the best cover guys in the league.
Whew.
Right. And you just, like, that's just another unpredictable part of this game. Like, will Jalen Johnson take a step up? I mean, it's probably unrealistic to think that something's going to click and all of a sudden Jalen Johnson's going to be like he has been in all his other years.
I didn't know that Nashawn Wright's nickname was Shawnee. I kind of like that. That's good.
Yeah.
So what's up with him?
Yeah. So we kind of started a little conversation with Nashawn Wright about the fact that, hey, man, defense has been struggling. What do you take away from that game, especially? Well, I guess if I'm going to go especially, I'd probably say the San Francisco game. But the Detroit game is the one that is closest to us, so we picked it up right there in the conversation with Shawnee Wright.
For me, I think it's just putting on the back burner. Week 18 was week 18. Not thinking about it. We got an opponent ahead of us who's a great offense. They convert on third down, so locking in on that and that game plan and going out there and trying to execute.
Have you heard any of the chatter coming out of Green Bay?
Yeah, I've seen a few of the little interviews, but it is what it is.
Okay.
You mentioned third downs. They, in general, I think they're second in the league on third down. You guys did struggle against them on third downs. How do you tighten that up? What's the message?
You said it. Tighten it up. Tighten up the coverage. Give them different looks. And pressure him, move him off his spot, and just make him make the throws that we want and capitalize on the ball when it's in the air.
Man, I'm hoping for a big old wind, lots of wind, and that lofty ball that Jordan Love likes to throw can float around in the breeze out there on Saturday night.
He had that touchdown throw that just... when he threw it, we were all like, wait, who is he throwing to? And then you look at the replay and you go, oh my God, the wind just took that touchdown away from the Packers.
Yeah, and he can do that where he can throw that ball up in the air and it goes right into Nashawn Wright's waiting hands. Can you work on that for us, Groats?
Yeah, I can. I think the third down thing is also just such a big deal. I'm just looking back because Ben Johnson was talking about that too, more with the offense. But Green Bay on third down against the Bears defense, and the Bears win over Green Bay. The Packers were 6 for 12 on third down in the first game, which of course the Packers won. They were 8 of 12 on third down. And while I'm at it, in the game that the Bears won on December 20th, the Bears offense was 2 for 11 on third down. So third down is an area that you must circle. It must get better for the Bears on defense. It must get better for the Bears on offense.
It's a massive focus. The situational stuff, red zone and third down are massive, massive focuses. And the last 3 weeks, among all teams in the NFL, the Bears 31st in third down defense, Mark, to your point. So
yeah, I mean, it's really frustrating. I mean, I asked Ben Johnson an open-ended question about what he wants to get better. I played it on Raheem Harrison Grody earlier, and he it was a very, very long, thorough answer in which he played the hits, including we must get off to a faster start. But he was really big on the third down stuff and the time of possession stuff. I didn't even mention that. But in the Bears win, the Packers had the ball 38 minutes and 57 seconds to the Bears 26 minutes and 13 seconds. In the first game that the Bears lost, it was 33-29 to 26-31. So it'd be really nice to see the Bears put together one of those, what maybe will become vintage style long play drives that Ben Johnson has had 3 or 4 of those this year, where he exhausts the opposing team's defense and kind of exhausts his own team to some degree.
It's really nice that we now have one of those coaches in the league that you want to hear talk about the opponent, because the way that they dissect the game and figure out who's good and who matters can be really, really good. And you can learn a lot from it, Mark.
I love how you intro'd that, because I know I think it was the first game that they played. We talked a lot about the Green Bay Packers safety, and I know Ben had an answer about that. But boy, when he was asked about Evan Williams, the fine safety for the Green Bay Packers, he took it and ran with it and expanded it to that entire position. Here's Ben Johnson on that.
Both him and McKinney are really good. I don't know if there's a better safety tandem right now this year. I know the team we faced last week, they had a couple guys that are hurt. Those are two really good players as well. But these two guys, you just got to account for them. It's I think the safety position in general is one that it's rare that you go into a game feeling like there's an impact player, and yet this particular week, like these two guys they're all over the field. I think they're highly instinctive. They do a great job when the ball's in the air, making plays. You know, I know McKinney had all those interceptions last year. He did a great job with that. And then I think it's been pretty cool to see Evan Williams just kind of grow over the course of his career to where he's an impact player for him now. We gotta do our best to take them out of the running game, because they're very active. They do a great job tackling. And then when our backs get them one-on-one, you know, they have done a good job all year getting these backs down. And so we got a big challenge in front of us there, and Halfley's done a nice job putting them in good spots.
Boy, that's a lot of respect for those two guys. I always think of this one play that Olin had shared a few weeks back of Evan Williams just attacking the lead blocker on a run play. Like, sometimes if you're crashing down as a safety, you don't get all the way to the running back. If you destroy the lead blocker, then whoever the next guy is or whoever your teammate is can go in there and take care of business. They're both awfully good.
Hey, got Gross, a few. Can I ask you a question about something that we were talking about earlier?
Yeah, please.
Packers are out here talking a little bit, and I think that it's gamesmanship, but I also think it could very easily backfire. Considering the way the Bears played, and they kind of sleptwalked through a big portion of that game against Detroit, and Ben was about as mad as we've seen him in a long time this season because of it. I know that it's the playoff game, and you should be ready no matter what, but it just felt like, are you sure? It seems like they think that they might be able to get the Bears overhyped, and I keep looking at it as it might have refocused the Bears in a time when they needed it.
Yeah, I hope the Bears learned from that game on Saturday night, and to a certain degree, I was actually okay with it because it was like this was an experience that a lot of these Bears players had not had. It was bright lights, big city. The hype was crazy. So to some degree, I excused the early silliness with the penalties that the Bears had in that game. But obviously, they're going to need to come down. And yeah, maybe the Green Bay Packers get burned by the same thing. I mean, I think they probably look at it like the Bears got lucky that they played, maybe outplayed the Bears for a chunk of that game, the December 20th game. So they want a little piece of it. I know, too, that, look, the vibe out here is, or has been, and from things that I've been hearing, is that after that Detroit game, my guess is it got probably pretty loud in that locker room, that it was about as loud as maybe it had been in terms of the coach. I'm not talking about players yelling necessarily or some sort of like crazy chaotic scene, but just from everything that I've been put together and listening to everything, I think Ben aired them out pretty good in that Detroit game. So, and I think that the discipline part of this too, that's been talked to about the Bears in terms of just taking a deep breath before the game. You heard DJ Moore saying, look, you don't want to completely take that out of the young guys, but it's a huge factor in all of this. And you have two teams that want a piece of each other right now, which is beautiful.
I like that. Nuggets and tidbits.
Yeah, I got a few good things for you guys. I do not know if Kyler Gordon will play in this game, but one player said it will be good to have him back out there. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean, and that's why I'm not putting a name with it, but that is speaking about him in the present tense. I mean, Kyler does not obligated to speak to the media because he hasn't been activated. So there's nothing on the record with him, and I couldn't squeeze anything out of him. But it'll be interesting and to monitor him too. You know, I was talking to Weezy about this. If he does play, like, is he going to be able to play the whole game? It's a very interesting scenario. And with CJ, GJ out, it is so important that he at least gives it a go. Several players noted that the intensity of the practices this week have gone up. That sounds like a logical thing. I think it's also notable, though, because they try to put on this, we're just do the same things that we always do. No, it's got to be the intensity needs to go up. And that's what has happened here. A couple other things here. In this scenario where the 7 seed plays the 2 seed, the 7 seed is 1-9. Looks pretty good chances for the Bears. That one game, though, was Green Bay, and I kind of gave it away at the beginning of the hit, was 2 years ago against Dallas when the 7 seed Green Bay Packers went into the 2 seed Dallas Cowboys and just blew them up and put the league on warning that day. I really thought that they were going to sustain success from that, the Packers. That scared the hell out of me. And then the one last thing, too, in the name of the Bears getting off to a fast start, because that's what we all want, the Packers have allowed just 2 first quarter touchdowns all season long.
Oh, man.
Other than that, Bears.
And for a Bears team that has been struggling in the first quarter and the first half for quite a while.
Exactly.
That's rough.
It's huge. Not that you can't overcome all of this stuff and things can be different for the Bears, but there are some areas to be concerned with for sure.
Mark, one last thing. When I was at Mariano's today, I saw a giant cookie cake.
I like that.
With a large yellow wedge of cheese painted on with frosting right there in the middle of said cookie cake.
That's a problem.
I thought that was a problem as well. I was disgusted. What would you suggest I do to said cookie cake at the Mariano's?
First of all, number one, and I love Mariano's, and they can earn their Bears back, but they just lost 2 Bears. They just did. I mean, I understand. I haven't heard their side of it. You know, maybe this is something that maybe somebody that works there is a Green Bay fan, and they're just having a little bit of fun, but you just lost 2 Bears right there. And Matt, I think you know exactly what to do to that cake, okay?
Yeah, I do. Wow. I'm not going to do it in public,
though. Two bears. Firm, that's, but fair.
Yeah, hey. you lost two bears. I mean, that is...
It's not, playoffs,
this is not
man.
The time.
It's a playoff.
This is not the time to be messing around with yellow cakes, Mariano. I love you.
It was a chocolate chip cake, but it was a yellow frosting.
May I offer just a theory and a defense of Mariano's?
Okay.
Is it possible that the whole concept is... Here's your Packers cookie cake. Eat it up.
Oh, eat it up.
Ooh. Eat it up.
Devour that ish. Yeah, maybe.
Eat it up.
I thought it more like, you know, Packer fans buy sneakers too.
Oh, no. Or,
excuse me. Packer fans buy cookie cakes too.
Oh, no. Groats, as always, you're the best, sir.
Thank you, guys. Yep. I will talk to you soon. Bears.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.